Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle. No, that's not right.
I'm into the Cookbook Circle.
I just can't get the intonation of the Cookbook Circle podcast right. There's a lot of syllables in there.
Yeah.
Hello, and no.
Hello, and no.
All right, one more. Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
And we've set out to review the UK's most popular cookbooks, those that you probably have at home and haven't opened in a while. We take one cookbook each episode to cook from and to stress test, digging out their best recipes, bringing them to life again, and hopefully inspiring you to do so too. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah. I thought it was going to be a song. I was sad.
I know, but then I can't be too predictable. I have to keep you on
that
your toes.
That is, I like to be kept on my toes. That's true.
I'm sure everyone's just sick of hearing me sing as well.
No. How could anyone ever be sick of your beautiful voice?
No. Yeah, you're right. Here we are in the final episode.
I know. Of the season.
Of the season.
Tis the season to have a final episode.
I love how you always come in and are like, of the season. I like being melodramatic, okay? It's the final episode.
We've got a little coffin for our for our season.
Season one. R.I.P.
R.I.P. the list. Yes, I feel happy that we got to the end of our 19 books, and we made it, and
looks
we did
like
it.
Like we've made
and,
it.
And, you know.
Look how far as we've come, my baby. You keep trying to talk. I'll just keep singing.
No, glad I keep singing. I love it. It feels like... This is beautiful. I feel like I'm at karaoke with you, which, you know, we haven't been able to do for a while, so...
I know, I can't believe we made it either. Like, I feel like when we started, we put out that Nigella episode and didn't know if anyone would listen outside of our friends and family. And they did. Thanks, gang.
Who we paid in cookbooks.
I will be paying someone in cookbooks at the end of this season because my floor is just out of control. Ridiculous.
Yeah, same. I recently moved house, as you know. And
still waiting on my invite.
There's lots of boxes yet to be unpacked just because I keep finding them and go, oh, it's a box of cookbooks. Nowhere to put this yet.
Another box of cookbooks. Should we talk a little bit about the list?
Yeah, my master list is...
You really want to make master list happen, right? Master list.
Yeah, I'm trying to trademark that for us.
Okay.
So that we can exclusively use it. However... Well, I've not done anything actually towards that, but I did use the TM emoji on a recent Instagram post. And
that's all you have to do.
That counts,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the copyright people would take that. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel slighted that master list is not one word, it's two words.
Why?
Officially. I would like to make it one word, officially.
Okay. We can trademark that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I feel like we could, you know, trademark bad grammar in English. I'd love to see it. I'm very good at it, as you know, writing bad English.
Bad English can be our band name of the week. Or slightly slighted. I quite like that. The list. Do you remember how we came to the list? How we came to the concept of the master list?
Like not like no. I'm trying to pretend that I remember how we decided to make a list, and I don't. So please. It's been a long year.
We were struggling to figure out which cookbooks that we would actually want to talk about, right? And then, like, we wanted to do the ones that people were most likely to have at home so that they didn't have to buy them, and that we would inject new life, new culinary life into their sleeping little cookbooks on their shelf. So we wanted to find a list of all, like, the best-selling or the most popular cookbooks, but there wasn't really any, were there? There was, like, no solid data. And so we did our nerdy thing.
Created the data.
Yeah, this data-led podcast.
And created the master list TM.
Yeah. And yeah, there were some books that we did leave out, though, right? We didn't want to.
Yeah, sorry. These are our confessions. We're doing songs today? I thought we're doing songs. That's my transition.
Just when I thought we'd done all the books, there was one on the we left out.
We did cheat on the list slightly with one book.
Two books, right?
With two. All right. All right. All right.
Sorry. Yeah,
put it all out there. No, we did. We originally wanted to do the top 20 books that come up on the master list TM. And what's the difference between a copyright and a trademark? Anyway,
but.
When we got the final 20 books, there was one that stood out as we probably shouldn't or wouldn't be able to do it, and that was Fergus Henderson's Nose to Tail Eating, I think it's called.
The Complete Nose to Tail.
Right, yeah.
In case nose to tail as a phrase didn't encompass completeness enough, it was The Complete Nose to Tail.
Fergus Henderson of St. John fame. But in case you didn't know, Hannah is a vegetarian.
And have I mentioned?
We didn't think there would be many nose to tail vegetables.
No.
Involved.
No.
In that book.
No tails. I'm sure there's a vegetable that has a tail. Maybe like a spring onion.
Yeah.
Is that its tail or is that its head? The little fuzzy bit.
And like we talked about fennel, that's like hair, right?
Yeah, for sure. Frizzy little heads on those. Or a tail. Fuzzy butt.
Anyway, so we took the executive decision to leave that one out. And then as we went along, there was another book. And look, being honest, full disclosure with you here, there was another book that was in the top, which was now 19, that we decided to swap out for a book that was like kind of further down the list, but not too far down the list. And that was Marco Pierre's White Pierre's.
Is it like Jacques, where it's like a plural? The S is silent.
Marco Pierre White's White Heat.
Yes. And I've only recently realized that the white in White Heat was from his surname of White. And I feel a bit of a numpty about that. Sorry. Yeah. It looks a bit like novelty, didn't it? But also very fine dining, right?
Yeah, it was. And we'd not long done the French Laundry, and you guys know how we felt about that. And we didn't want to kind of subject you or us to that kind of thing again. And again, it was very meat heavy. I don't know if you've ever eaten at one of Marco Pierre White's restaurants.
I have not.
But he is very meaty.
Is there like a side of like class A drugs?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's probably, what's it called? You know, the bad thing. When you say the bad thing about the person. Slander. There we go.
Libel.
Libel.
We're getting sued.
But also, like, because they're just not accessible, right? It's like, we've always wanted to do the things that people are more likely to actually want to make on a weeknight or a weekday. French Laundry was an anomaly to that, unless you want to blitz up £1,500 worth of pine nuts for your tart. It's just not, they just weren't the kind of the food of the people, you know, like us. We're of the people.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that Fergus Henderson and Marco Pierre White are going to be all right.
Quite all right. Yeah. All these,
without us,
all these white
reviewing
dudes.
Their old books. So you guys keep trucking with the restaurants. I've been to a Marco Pierre. Wow. Wow.
That Pierre in the middle is just not doing it for me. Call him Marco if you want.
Oh my God. Do you think that he calls himself Marco Pierre White because he wants to sound more French?
Yes.
I mean, this is all the takes you could have got if we'd done an episode on him. So we should move on because we're not doing an episode on him.
But Marco sounds quite Italian to me. So he's a little bit of Italy, a little bit of France, a little bit of Britain with his name, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit of, you know, cocaine.
A little bit of rock and roll.
We're sorry that we left those off, but actually not really that sorry. So
no.
You also, instead of Marco Pierre White, you got I got it. Someone give me a cookie. You got Dory, which we loved, and we got to do a baking book, and that was a joy. And as you know, that we really enjoyed that. And we think that's a better book probably to have on your shelf than the better chef to look out for in like her New York Times columns and stuff.
Yeah. So. We love Dory.
We love Dory. Come on the show. I have some fun stats about the list. If some I can talk stats. Through them.
Yeah. If you may talk through them. Granting you permission to talk through the fun.
I've got some data for you. Some data points.
Hit me. Hit me with your data points. Hit me.
Did you want to sing that?
Yeah, or... hit me with your data points.
Data. Sorry, actually, for all Australian listeners who do say data.
We say data in Ireland too. I've just been in this cursed country for too long.
It is cursed. I agree. I would like to leave and go and say data somewhere.
No, hit me.
Okay, all right.
I want it.
I know. I'm coming with it, all right? Wow. Save that for somebody else. So as you know, we compiled lots of different lists of the best cookbooks of all time, or the cookbooks you should have, etc., etc.
Bored of this concept of the master list TM.
I just feel like I don't want to bore people with how we got to it, you know. But imagine all those like listicles with clickbait headlines about cookbooks that you should have. We got them all. We focused on British media outlets, I would say, because there was a lot of American lists out there, but they all included books that we didn't know, chefs we weren't familiar with, and we presumed when we started this, you know, we know what you do, what happens when you presume. But we presumed that it'd be mostly UK and Irish listeners. And our moms, basically. So that's what we
did. Hi, mom.
Hi to my mom. There are 328 entries on the Master List TM. So that's individual books, but not total number of different books. Does that make sense? Because many were repeated. That's how we got to our top. So
yes.
And it was over 20 lists of varying sizes.
I did all 20, if I remember right. You were just supervising, making the pivot tables.
I was making the pivot tables. I was doing the data bit.
Data.
So, as we all know, the most popular book was Marcella Hazan's Essentials of Italian Cooking.
Marcella.
Oh, yeah. We have an apology to make, actually,
we do.
Marcella. Because we're ignorant people. You apparently pronounce it Marcella.
Sorry, pals.
I'm going to go back and re-record just every time we say her name in that.
Marcella.
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 So, yes, Marcella, she was our most popular book by far. She was the most featured, mentioned book on the list. But the most mentioned chefs, I think, is interesting. I looked at that, created a different pivot table for that, and found out which chefs were mentioned the most. And you have to guess which chef appears most on the list with 18 mentions.
Is it Ottolenghi?
It is Ottolenghi.
Oh, I feel so vindicated. It's wonderful. It's delicious.
Which is good, actually, because we did two, you know, obviously he was the only chef that was repeated. Yeah. And so 8 of his books are mentioned on our master list TM.
What a man.
What a man.
Ottoman.
So plenty in Jerusalem. Ottoman.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, sorry, let's log off now. That was...
fucking terrible. Let's be honest, that was fucking... She is so sick of my shit. That's why we're ending this season. She just absolutely needs a break from this fucking garbage.
The puns just don't stop. Yeah, so 8 books. Plenty in Jerusalem are the most popular, obviously. That's why we did them. Yeah. But a couple of shout-outs for Simple. Also, Flavor gets in there somehow.
I do want to
which
that.
Only came out recently. Yeah, it's a great we've both got that book and it's great. It's a great book.
So good.
Second to Ottolenghi, though, just coming up to the rear of our boy Ottolenghi is another chef with 17 mentions. Who might that be?
So we've done my man. Is this time for your main man to make a show? One Mr.
Yeah, it is.
J. Oliver. Monsieur Oliver, we've been expecting you.
Senor Oliver. Yeah, 17 mentions and 13 books of Jamie Oliver's came up on our master list here. And that's when I've burnt it to the ground. No, I'm joking.
13 books, so that's what, about like 1% of the number of books he actually has out in the world.
So obviously The Naked Chef, which is the book that we covered, is the most popular. But quite hilariously, the next two that were the most mentioned were Jamie's Italy and Jamie's Great Britain.
Wow, so diverse.
He's been around the world and I wrote a book about it. Jamie's Jerusalem is next. It's a collab between our top two guys.
Oh my god, shit, you're better at the singing than me all along. We never knew. But yeah, isn't it weird that, like, so The Naked Chef was his first book, I think, wasn't it? So
yeah,
so, you know, the critics say that that's his best. It's just
it was all downhill from there.
Oh Jamie,
we love you. We may love you. The other, also interestingly, so the other top mentioned authors / chefs in our list were pretty much all British chefs, which is, you know, it makes sense, but it's interesting. So there's Nigella, Nigel Slater, Fergus Henderson, and Elizabeth David.
Yee.
So
we're a biased little Highland, aren't we?
Yeah. But, you know, all those people are we rated. Well, we didn't rate Fergus Henderson, but, you know, people love his books.
Ham on toast or whatever it is. Yeah. Isn't that ham on toast?
Mince on toast? A classic toast. British dish that no British person, I think, has ever eaten.
Ooh, mince makes me feel bad thing. Yeah. Just having a wave. Don't mind me, as you were.
So that's the list.
Thanks for those fun stats.
Oh, you're so welcome. if anybody wants to see the list, they can't. What have you seen it? It's a bit of a mess.
We can put the top ones on our website maybe or something, and just put a big line through White Heat and Fergus Henderson with a little man sad face beside it. Oh, sad white.
If you want to go and tell us how you feel about Fergus Henderson and Marco Pierre White's books, then please do.
We're all ears. And we were all ears to your questions.
What a transition, ladies and gentlemen. My God. What a transition.
Raw talent.
What is the podcast awards called? We should get one just for that. Best transition of the year.
We asked you guys if you had any questions for us, and then we would answer them in this episode, and y'all came through. We've got y'all. Yeah, some really, really great questions.
Yeah, thank you. They're really fun. We're going to answer them. We're not just going to talk about the questions. We've made a massive list of questions. And we're going to answer them on season 2.
Right.
So, first question. Which book exceeded your expectations and which was most disappointing?
You have to answer this too, by the way.
I will never.
It didn't say Hannah. The book that exceeded my expectations was definitely Morrow. I just didn't know, and I hadn't really eaten at the restaurant, and just everything was great and delicious and simple and so full of flavor. And yeah, that book, I get why it's on the, I was about to be, it should get some credit, but it's obviously getting some credit on the list, but I feel like a lot of the people might know just how great that one was, so I love that very much. And then the one that disappointed me the most, it's no surprise if I say The French Laundry, just because it's just not my style, man. Fine dining, very meat heavy, and just, yeah, really pricey. And just, yeah, what does he eat at home, Thomas Keller? Does he ever just have a slice of toast? I don't know. But also, controversially, Mama Fuku for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just, yeah, not veggie enough and too complex, too restaurant-y. It's just, yeah, it's the same with both of those books, was that they both had this expectation that you would have this like great mise en place and just like hours to create, you know, 10 leashes of stock to just casually have in your freezer for the next time you might need it. And it's just not their reality, guys.
No, they were very similar books, weren't they? Those two. We talked about that, but yeah.
What about you?
So I felt the same about Morrow. Like, definitely was my, the one that shocked me and surprised me and made me feel great. Like, I had a whole day of cooking from that, I think. Like, yeah. And it was just so fun and enjoyable and not, yeah, I wasn't bothered at all.
And everything worked together, didn't it? It was just really cohesive, great book.
Yeah, as you guys know, we're putting this supper club together in a couple of weeks, and we could have done everything for Morrow. When we looked at all the recipes that we loved, we were like, oh, we can't make this just about Morrow. But yeah, we could have. And then the one that disappointed me the most, I think, obviously The French Laundry. Mm. But for me, I think for me personally, also LaRousse. I guess I had this preconception that LaRousse would be this kind of book to end all books. It would have these recipes in it that I would use forever and these techniques that I would, that would change the game for me. But actually the recipes and the food in it, as in like to cook, played second fiddle to just like descriptions of food stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
And maybe that was, that's my, that was my conception and that's bad, but I felt a bit disappointed about that.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know how often I'll be going back to just like browse it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I feel like I want to kind of give it away. Like, it's not, I'm not going to browse it, but it does look nice on my shelf.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We want that wanky kudos, don't we?
Yeah, Wanky Kudos, that's our brand name.
Next question.
Oh, yes.
Death Row Meals.
Oh, great question. Okay, so I'm going to hold back a little bit because I will wait to be invited on the Off Menu podcast to talk about my my full in-depth kind of favorite meal.
Yeah, starter main course.
And I won't want to spoil that for you guys and have you not listen.
So the dream.
We can dream. But here's a little taster. Ooh. So it would be a little canapé. The canapé would be oysters.
Oh,
yeah.
You're so fancy.
I am fancy. And they would be prepared in a number of ways. I'm not tied to, you know, just raw oysters with vinegar and Tabasco. Like, that's great. But also, like, cook your oysters because they taste delicious. Like, deep fry them. Like, not in the shell, obviously. But I feel like cooking them is a, you know, we don't do that very often in the UK, but actually, like, they're fucking good.
Wow. I don't think I've ever had a cooked oyster.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you for cooked oysters. I don't know where, because you rarely get them here. Yeah, so there'll be oysters. And then I would also have, there would be ramen from my favorite ramen shop in Japan, which is Ichiran, for anyone who's interested, and in the round bowl. And that may, that probably means something to like literally no one that's listening, but you know, maybe my husband. They did have different tastes based on the shape of the bowl. And I don't mean that like, that's not like a psychological thing, that's like a literal thing.
Wow.
Like, you go to, they, different shops have different bowl shapes and they're slightly different tastes.
That's so cool.
So it'd be round bowl Ichiran in Japan,
in
obviously.
Japan.
You'd fly me to Japan before I died. And
oh, yeah.
Let me eat that. Yeah. And there'd be other bits, including my mum's mashed potato. But, you know, doesn't have to be coherent meal, does it? So it's fine.
Is there a world where you have the oysters in the ramen?
No, that sounds horrendous.
They would be slippery little suckers in there, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. On chopsticks, I feel like that's not the... not the one. We can only a little spoon, I suppose. Anyway, what is your death row meal?
What am I getting the death penalty for? What have I done?
Well, I guess you've murdered someone or someone's.
Oh. Okay. That's
because I don't know.
It?
Do you die? Do you go on death row if you haven't killed someone?
I don't know. Anyway, that's a bit dark. I have long said that my death row meal would be toast in several forms.
Of course.
Well, the same base toast, that would be fine, but different toppings.
Okay, what bread?
So, my own baked sourdough.
Great. Absolutely love the idea of you in a prison cell on death row, feeding your starter.
Renee.
And
you mean Renee?
Renee, sorry.
Use his name. Someone has to keep him alive after I'm gone. Yeah, so my own sourdough toast, because I'm such a wanker, with one with butter and Marmite. That would be one. Mm-hmm. Kerrygold butter, obviously.
Obviously.
One with mayonnaise and tomato, a ripe tomato. I don't know. Have we ever mentioned that? We like ripe tomatoes.
I don't think we have, but we do love tomatoes. We do love tomatoes.
And then one would be like almost like a cheesy, like rare bitty vibe.
Nice.
Yeah. And maybe one with like tahini and honey, because I really like that too.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, maybe that would be like a one thing. But then it would be hard to choose this, like, you're going to roll your eyes, but this an Ottolenghi recipe with Easter Belfrage. Is that how we say it?
I think it's Easter, yeah. It's how you say it first name. Easter. Yeah.
Easter. Yeah, there's like bang bang noodles with like this tahini soy sauce and like a chili numbing oil.
Yeah, that
and that's like my ultimate comfort food now. I mean, the recipe only came out about a year ago, but I've made it lots of times. I think that could be up there too. So tahini has to be present in tahini, yeah. And carbs are present in both scenarios.
Nice. So noodles for both of us.
Oh, yeah. Just a pair of noodles.
A little double noodle death row. Double noodle death row.
That's the bad name. Double noodle death row.
Double noodle death row. Excellent. But yeah, tune into our off-menu episode in 2023 for our full favorite meal.
One day.
Right, next one. I heart pasta sauces. Mm. What book do you think comes closest to being a definitive collection?
Ooh, I love how people are actually asking us questions as if we know things. Isn't that nice? No, it's lovely. No, it's really nice. We'll pretend like we know things all day long. Definitely Marcella Hazan, The Essentials of Italian Classic Cooking, or Classic Italian Cooking. That had so many good pasta sauces. And like that one that I made that I never would have expected to be good, with the courgette and the basil and the beaten egg yolk. Just really good stuff in there, and not massively complex. Yeah, I don't. Do you think there was any other ones that had?
I think pasta sauces. No, not really, because, you know, we didn't do a lot of Italian.
No, certainly.
But yeah, I feel like Marcella Hazan had, yeah, great ones, like all the classics that you'd want and then some extras. Yeah. And so have a look for that.
Try that tomato, butter, onion one as well, if you haven't, because that is great. And we've had a lot of people say that since the episode came out, that like that's their family go-to one, and it's just amazing.
Hazan.
Another one is if we know things. Tips for getting out of a cooking rut in Australian lockdown and sick of everything I cook. Feel your pain.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about your lockdown. I think that when this pod comes out, you're actually out of lockdown, which is great. Congratulations. Yeah. But yes, feel this on the lockdown thing. What is my tip for getting out of a cooking rut? My tip is don't worry too much.
Yeah.
But also, if you enjoy cooking, which you probably do, if you're listening to the pod and stuff, like have a think about this is what I do. What are you always ordering in restaurants and that you've not made before at home, and like go and find a recipe for that thing, whether that's a pasta sauce, or whether that's like a smash burger, or whether it's some Japanese thing or Thai or whatever, and like go and find a recipe for it and like spend a bit of time. This is what's good about lockdown.
Yeah.
Like if you've got some time, you've got a couple of hours or an afternoon or whatever, you can like go and make something quite like a bit of a project cook.
Yeah.
And that may or may not become then on your rotation of foods, but little bits of it might.
Yeah.
Like the noodles with a dressing, or, you know, the, like you said, the pasta sauce or the bolognese, whatever it is, like you may not spend all that time again doing it, but the ideas then that it will spark, and you'll know that those favorite combinations you love, and you know, it'll be great. That would be my, do you have any tips?
I think my tip would be, don't be hard on yourself, and don't think that you should be, and you can go on Instagram and everyone's doing lots of amazing things, but it's fine to just eat toast every day if that's what you feel like doing. Important thing is that you're sane and you've survived a fucking awful 2 years or 18 months or whatever. So like, do what you need to do for your mental health would be what I would say, but also play around with what you do enjoy making. So if it is like even if it is beans on toast, I'll just keep talking about toast all day long, but then, like, you know, play around with it. Do you put some like chili in? Do you put some cheese in? Just like fuck around with the your staple yeah. stuff and see if you can liven it up. And one thing we talk about Oddbox a lot, right? But like that has just taught me a lot about the seasonality of vegetables and just being landed with a fennel and not knowing what to do with it. And you just have to look up a recipe and go with it. So like look up what's in season and see if you can find some, and then just find a recipe and go from there. But
yeah,
you're doing great.
Good luck. And yeah, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're fine.
Fuck lockdowns. Yeah, they're hard.
They are.
Right, next one. What do you do for a job? Oh. What training, etc.? What training, etc., do you both have? We love talking about work.
Well, the good thing about our work is that it brought us together.
That's true.
We work for the same company, but doing different things. I don't know what I do anymore, lads. I'll be honest. I have a marketing background, and I kind of work in a marketing-y kind of project management-y kind of role. And I don't know if I've mentioned about training. Well, I did this little course in Paris once. It was like 3 years ago, actually.
Well, did you?
At the Cordon Bleu, I did a pastry diploma. Yeah, I was a chef for like a year or two after, and then sold my soul, came back to the office, and then met Victoria. So it was all very serendipitous.
It was very exciting when Hannah was hired at our company, because so we do different things. I have a kind of non-profit fundraising background, and that's kind of what I do where we work. And but basically my team and her team like sit near each other when we had an office. And when we heard that Hannah was getting hired, it was like, she's a pastry chef, she just come back from Paris doing this course. And we were like, fuck yes, bring us the goods.
And then I brought nothing. I didn't bring anything. I was
and like, then we went into lockdown, so she's cancelled in the office.
I really
did. No, she did. She brought banana bread one day in
before it was cool.
Before it was, yeah, way before it was cool. And that was pretty fucking life changing, I'll be honest. And I don't have any formal food training, yes. But as you may have heard, recently completed a master's degree, which had a food component. It was like a food and politics and sociology. It was basically a politics degree with a skew on food, more stuff about like the food system and how the food system works and how that all links into politics and stuff. So
that's way she's smarter than me.
But I can't cook.
You can
go on.
You can cook. I was just about to say, while we're talking about things that you brought into the office, do you remember when you brought those like miso and white chocolate cookies into the office?
Oh my God, they were so good.
Oh, that's when I knew I loved you.
And they were so good, and like everyone loved them. And then that the recipe that I got for them, they took that recipe offline. Their blog went down, and no. I've never been able to find it since. And there's not been a recipe that's matched it. Like there is other white chocolate and miso recipes out there, but they are not the there was a bit too sweet, I think. And I think the beauty of the ones I made was that they really leaned into the miso. Yes. And so it wasn't like, oh, you know, because white chocolate is so sweet.
It is. Oh, they were great. Next question. Mm-hmm. I don't know who sent this in, actually. I'm not sure where this one has come from. Definitely wasn't me. But it says, it's the only one that's specifically addressed to you. And it says, oh. Victoria, what's your favorite thing about Hannah?
Oh, who's Hannah?
I don't know. But it now looks like I was very tactically laddering you up with that cookie compliment.
What I like about Hannah is that she likes my food.
This is now very uncomfortable.
What is the thing that I like about Hannah? My favorite thing about Hannah. Well, here we go. I'm going to fucking embarrass Hannah because she hates it. She hates compliments. And so I'm going to be really nice to her.
No.
And really cute and not be mean. So firstly, she's hilarious. And that is the trait that I, you know, most value in people, as we know. All the other stuff, couldn't care less. Yeah. You know, scam me, take my money. Treat me like shit. But if you're funny, I will lie down and take it. No, that's not fair. Please don't do that to me. But also, in addition to being hilarious, she is incredibly, like, ridiculously kind and compassionate, and like literally puts anyone else before herself. At all times. And that is, you know, a great, it's not great for her probably, but it's great for everyone around her, because she's like very cute. Plus she keeps me a lifelong procrastinator, general bad egg, on track for all pod things.
That's so not true. That is not true at all. You're the backbone of this podcast.
Also, she's very, very, very good at baking things. And like, here's a great story about Hannah. Oh, so
I really regret asking.
So you're admitting that you sent this question. So spoiler alert and big drop, I'm pregnant. I'm currently with child.
Oh,
and
we're telling people.
We haven't mentioned it on the pod, so sorry that we haven't mentioned it, but it just hasn't quite felt like the right time.
Yeah, but it's so exciting.
But anyway, that's relevant to the story. So I am currently with child, and early on in my pregnancy, I made a fleeting comment about how I was craving Chelsea buns, and. Honestly, like, I saw Hannah the next week. We like worked from a co-working space somewhere, and she literally brought me a box of freshly made warm Chelsea buns.
I've forgotten that.
And I devoured them, and they were so good, and they hit my, you know, annoying pregnancy craving spot. And like, that is the kind of person that Hannah is. And they were warm.
That changes everything. I think I baked them that morning. Honestly, warm baked stuff is the best thing in the world. Well, I edit this podcast, so I'm going to just take all of that out of there. But thank you very much.
Yeah, we won't leave the bit in about me being pregnant.
Love you, pal.
Should we want to move on? I love you too. Right.
Yes.
Next question. Who's your favorite ever celebrity chef?
Oh, that's so hard. That is so hard.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know everyone's going to be like, oh, she's going to say Ottolenghi, which is true. But I also have a lot of love for like some old school, like Keith Floyd. When you watch his like bits on Saturday Kitchen, I just think he's hilarious when he's just like yelling at the cameraman to come in and zoom in on his food. Or people like, I mean, did you listen to that Ainsley Harriott off menu lately?
Yeah.
I mean, that man is just an absolute joy.
Yeah, he's a joy.
And Nigel Slater is very calming to watch and just like ASMR, just amazing. And I'm actually, you know, I'm going to land on Ottolenghi for like recipes that I love and books that I would just want every single one of them. But all of those deserve an honourable mention.
Oh, really going for that fucking
off menu thing. Look, this is our final plug to get on the
we're not leaving this podcast
of
forever.
Of the season.
Hannah, maybe she's dropping this in a minute after we finish these questions, that she's never coming back. And in which case, sorry, everyone.
Who are you going to say? I'm actually intrigued. Favorite celebrity chef?
Yeah. Wow, I've really not prepared for this question.
No, me neither.
Oh God, I don't really know. Like, I feel like I'm a recipe person rather than a chef person.
Yeah.
But
would you say like Kenji Lopez-Alt or someone like that? That like,
I do love Kenji. Yeah. I'd have liked his book too. I wonder if that his book is in the list. Actually, we've mentioned it before on the pod. So Kenji writes for the New York Times, and he did a lot for Serious Eats as well.
Yes.
And he wrote a book called The Food Lab: Better Home Cooking Through Science, and it could have been on this list. I have it, and I look at it a lot. It's all just, yeah, it's just the science of how to make the food the best. And he does a lot of that stuff, recipes, and he just talks you through like why these are the best. And I love reading all that stuff. I think it's brilliant. And he's really brilliant. And you can listen to a lot of his, they did like phone-ins on the Serious Eats podcast for a long time with him. And they do it a lot around like Thanksgiving.
Fine.
And that's where I also got introduced to
Stella Parks.
Stella Parks.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of those phone-ins as well. And they're
Brave
great.
Tart. She's the Brave Tart. Tart. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So she makes the like vodka pastry for her pies and stuff like that. Anyway, she's not my favorite celebrity, but she's great on those phone-ins. I feel like I would sway towards like the like American kind of chefs. Like, as we know, talk about the Pioneer Woman a lot. I don't love her food, but I do enjoy watching her shows. But then Ainsley is great.
Oh, there's so many.
I'm trying to think who I enjoy watching. Yes, there's so many.
Anthony Bourdain as well. Like, he didn't
yes I was gonna say Anthony Bourdain, yeah. but
he didn't, did he ever do like a classic kind of cookery show or like, you know, kind of him to camera? I don't feel like
no,
but still, what a man. I love him very, very, very much.
Yeah. I feel like it depends on the day for both of us. It sounds like, you know, ask me one day and I'll say, you know, Jamie Oliver, and then the next day I'll say, I'm joking, Stella Parks. Anyway, next question.
This is a very specific question. Would you consider doing a show on Kitchen by Nigella? It's my favorite book ever. Yes.
Yay. Yes. If it comes up on our list, no.
Master list, yeah.
I don't know that book, but what I will tell you is that I feel like we'll be doing more Nigella in the future.
Yes.
There's a little nugget of season two for you. But also because my entire Twitter feed is just Nigella Lawson these days, because she replies to anyone who tweets her with her food or talks about recipes, whatever. So like my exposure in the last like 6 months to Nigella Lawson's recipes is so high.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like, it's great. I want to try them all. A lot of them. There's a few that I feel like come up.
Yes.
And maybe from this book that come up a lot, like her loaf, her classic loaf, and the Malteser cake,
yes,
and things like that. Her Guinness cake,
yeah, I think. That's she a big Guinness one. Cake.
So I feel like, yes, absolutely, we probably would do that.
Look, we'll do anything.
Just tell us what you want, we'll do
it. Did you listen to the Cook to Bag episode? We'll do anything. Absolutely no problem there.
We'll do it. Maybe he's my favorite celebrity chef. Right, this question is great, this next question. Can I just say, this is a great question. Right. So what is your forever breakfast? Which is, and then they've given clarity about what this, the breakfast you fall asleep looking forward to.
Oh, that is an excellent question, because breakfast,
such a good question.
I would happily have, I'm sure I've said this before, breakfast for dinner, like all day long. I've had like scrambled eggs on toast for dinner and stuff like that. And I think maybe homemade bread, I don't know if I mentioned, but I like my own bread. Homemade bread. My mouth is watering now because I haven't actually had breakfast and it's 9:27 in the morning. Toasted with Kerrygold butter, name drop again. And like slow scrambled eggs where they're really just like the texture is great. And then some hot sauce is like one of my ultimate breakfasts, forever breakfast. But also an honorable mention to, I've homemade croissants before, which is obviously a massive labor of love. You have to make them the day before, but that night, if you're talking about falling asleep and looking forward to something, when you know you've got croissants in the fridge and you're going to bake them off the next morning, and even if they're not technically perfect, they're like 80% butter. That is a joy. That is so good.
That is a joy. That sounds great. I love scrambled eggs on toast as well with hot sauce. Yeah. So
what's your forever breakfast?
Oh, this is such a good question. So I feel like this is where we differ a little bit. And this is also with our like, or our death row meals, where I'm like, I want to go to a restaurant. I feel like for me, that doesn't feel like much of a greater joy sometimes than a hotel buffet breakfast.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I feel like it has to be in like, the UK, maybe Ireland as well. Like, I feel like when you go to the continent, for example, like if you're in Italy or Spain on like holiday, not as good.
No.
Too much like cake. There feels a lot of cake for breakfast when you go to this buffet, and yogurts and stuff. And that's not my jam. What I want is like, you know, I want to choose my kind of full English style bits from the buffet, and I want to toast my own bread in one of those, like, you know, conveyor belt toasters.
Yeah.
And then I want to have fruit. I feel excited about it because somebody else is cooking it. Yeah. And I think a full English breakfast is like, it's like a military operation when you do it at home, and it's not ever really worth it. You may as well go out.
Ah, interesting take. Well, do you do like courses when you're at a hotel buffet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start off with some yogurt and fruit, maybe some cereal. Then the main show, that the like eggs, whatever else.
Yeah.
And then finish off with a pastry. Breakfast dessert.
I see, I go the other way. I'll start off with a pastry and then do the main and then fruit for breakfast dessert.
Ah, oh, how interesting. But breakfast dessert is a very real thing and something that I often partake in.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's too many in the West. There's too many like restrictions on breakfast being like this like sweet cereal or toast thing. And actually savory breakfasts are the one. And
all day long. Yeah.
My honorable mention for breakfast, sorry, is IHOP in the States.
Oh.
I fucking love pancakes. And you cannot really get very good pancakes here unless you pay for them. Yeah, and even then, I'm annoyed. Like, it's just flour and eggs and shit. Like, I'm annoyed that I've had to pay all this money. And anyway, so big American pancakes from the International House of Pancakes in America, where they have their like little syrup rack, and the blueberry syrup is like the fucking one.
Oh.
And the pancakes are the side dish often to like your main breakfast, which is, you know, relevant. And then like you can't eat for 3 days because it was like a fucking rock on your stomach, but it's so good. And my American friends always laugh at me because obviously it's a bit of like a basic, weird, cheap diner style thing, but it's so good.
I need to try that because I have not been converted to the pancake.
Oh really?
Tribe. The Church of Pancake.
Wow.
I don't attend.
Wow. I'll make you some when you come visit.
Okay.
I have a good recipe.
I think you'll be busy minding a baby, but that's fine. Final question. Will we be doing a Christmas special episode?
No.
Yeah. That really hurt me.
Well, let's have this creative argument on live. On this
Here's why I think we should do it. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
We planned a Christmas special episode. So send us the books that you love cooking from, or your Christmas recipe books. Or recipes that you love to cook from.
Yeah. Late November, early December, we'll get it out in time for you to actually make the things.
Yeah. Hopefully. Find the recipes. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait to find the twinkly music. Oh.
Oh. I can't put my house more like Christmas food and stuff like that.
That's all. That was most of the questions.
Yeah. There was a couple of specific in joke ones from our friends, which we won't repeat.
Love you guys. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, quite a lot. The hit me thing was a bit of a started something earlier. I don't know if I can recommend my therapist.
Question one, what's your fucking problem? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Why did I talk to you on your first day? Right, I do have a question. So imagine the books that we've done, right?
Yeah.
As you know, we are running our supper club in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we are cooking dishes that we've made during the season, which is exciting.
Yeah, very.
So my question to you is, if two of the chefs from the list that we've cooked had to turn up to our supper club, bearing in mind we are cooking, who would you want to be there?
Oh my God, that's really... That's going to be really hard because my mind is immediately going to Nigel Nigella and Yotam Ottolenghi.
Mm-hmm.
But like also, how great would it be to have Julia Child there? I think that would be really fun. I'm going to say Julia Child for one and Yotam Ottolenghi, I think.
Yeah. I feel like you have to have Yotam. Like you,
I know, but how scary, because we're spoiler, we're probably going to make something of his. Do you know your answer to this question? Have you thought about this?
Have I thought about it? No, not really. Do you know who I would like to have there? Samin Nosrat.
That's a good one, yeah. And Dory, like, have fun with Dory too.
I mean, there's a lot of people on this list. I mean, does Sam and Sam Clark count as one person?
Sam.
A Sam Clark could attend. I feel like Samin Nosrat. I feel like, you know, for you, I'd get Ottolenghi there. I would really like, although I think I would hate it,
David Chang.
I would like to meet David Chang, but I don't think I would like him to eat the food that I'd cooked because of his anger issues.
But as previously mentioned, he makes a great face when he eats something.
Yeah.
And I do love that. I would like to see that in real life.
So there's a lot. Also, Stephanie Alexander, I feel like she would be a hoot.
Yeah. So many great people. Elizabeth David would be fascinating as well. Shit, that's a really hard question. Mine for you might be easier.
Okay.
Although now I feel like I've already kind of, this is a bonus question because I did make you lavish compliments on me earlier. But I have a snog, marry, avoid for you, or a kiss, marry, kill, whichever way you want to look at it. Out of these three, which would you kiss, marry, kill?
Okay. Let's do snog, marry, avoid because I feel like, they're not people though, they're ingredients.
They're ingredients.
Oh, okay, great. I was like, I want to be humane. I don't want to kill someone because that would get me on death row.
Butter, cream, and cheese.
Oh.
The agony on her face is so good.
This is a great question.
I know.
I know.
I'm very pleased with myself.
I'm going to marry cheese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Because there's enough cheese that is inoffensive to me that I could keep it. I could eat mozzarella, okay, a mild cheddar, yeah, halloumi. You know. Sorry, yeah, everyone. And I'm going to kill cream because there's, okay, just there's no situation in which I enjoy it.
Okay.
not in no desserts or anything like that. And so I'm going to kiss or snog butter because, okay, why do I marry butter? Because what about croissants? I like croissants and I generally like a buttery, like I like to use butter in my cooking.
Yeah.
Not as much as I like to use olive oil, but you know, I don't mind the taste in things. And if I had to eliminate it all from my diet, that would be bad.
Well, then you should be marrying butter, I think.
Okay.
I would marry butter.
But cream would definitely be dead in this situation.
Okay.
Because I don't have any. It doesn't.
Cream is dead.
The cream is dead. That's my band name.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I've had a stick. I'm going to marry cheese and snog butter.
Butter, okay.
That's all the questions we have for each other?
That's the question segment of the evening.
Lovely to know you.
Shall we talk a little bit about season 2 for our lovely listeners to ensure that they come back when it's out?
Yes, let's talk about season 2.
Season 2... As previously mentioned, Victoria's going to have a little Victoria baby. We don't know if it's a little Victoria or a little Victoria. Oh.
Our next minisode is a gender reveal podcast for my baby.
It will be Chief Circlet, is all we know so far.
They better fucking be. They've eaten a lot of this food this season.
Yeah, they have. So early next year will be our aim. And
yes,
we asked you guys a lot about what you wanted to see or listen, mm-hmm, to. And there were definite themes, I would say.
This is where Hannah quits because she's like, the theme is stop doing this podcast. The
themes were very female heavy, I would say.
Yeah.
And we like that.
We do like that. We don't know if we've mentioned.
We've been, if you look at the trend of the chefs we've been meanest about, we're not, we like men. But we've been harder on the males of this world, I would say. So yes, we're all for the female chefs.
Yes. And so we're going to focus on female chefs.
Modern female chefs.
Yeah.
More on that to come.
Yeah. We're just going to give you a little teasy teaser, yeah, for now. But yeah. And if you obviously now, you know, send us all the books that you would like us to cover.
Yeah.
In that genre.
Genre. This mightn't be as data led. This might be more of taking everyone's suggestions and making sure we get people from all around the world. So we want to hear what you want to hear, pals.
Yeah, please. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. It always is. Thanks for listening to season 1, everyone.
Thank you guys so much. And this has just been such a joy. Like we didn't know how it would turn out. We are classic millennials who rarely finish things, and so it's been such a joy to the joy of cooking, some might say.
Oh, we didn't mention her. We didn't mention Irma. She would have been great. She would be great at the supper club.
Definitely brought a cookie. Yeah, and yeah, it's just been like, it's been so good. It's been so fun. We've had a great time and we're really grateful that, yeah, you have listened, and we can't wait to do more.
No, and we've had some lovely comments, particularly I think from people in Australia saying that, you know, we've helped them through lockdown. But actually, this probably helped, yeah, both of us massively through lockdown as well as a project. And now it's born and it's real and we're going to keep
not
going.
Not my baby, though.
Because we love it so much.
That's later. They are not born yet. But we'll let you know when they are.
Later. We'll yeah. Oh. Okay. Thank you.
Let us know what you think about season 2.
We love you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Our final bye.
Oh.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review as it helps. Okay. We'll go again. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, please don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. I forgot that I was on mute.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.